The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 82. Our Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube or join the mailing list at ronmckeefery.com to stay up to date with the latest episode and anything else that we got going on. Real excited to have a good buddy of mine this week, Jeremy Boone. Jeremy Boone is he has athletebydesign.com as well as the Coach Your Best podcast. And Jeremy's a guy that I, you know, in the very first clinic that I went to as a strength coach, he presented at the NSCA coaches conference. And, you know, I was blown away by him then on stage, blown away by him throughout the years, speaking at different conferences with each other and getting a chance to get to know him and what, you know, he'll tell you more so than I will and how he defines himself is that he is a father, a husband, and then a coach. And as you guys all know by watching this show, that's what I pride myself on as well, is making sure to keep things in priority the way they should be. And Jeremy is a guy that definitely does that. He's a, you know, he's a strength coach. He's a mental coach. He has his hand kind of in a little bit of everything. And he's one of the best that I've been around when dealing with the psychology of an athlete. And we get into quite a bit of that in the show. We talk about mental toughness. We talk about how to develop relationships with athletes, how to have some healthy dialogue with athletes, really trying to dive deep into what makes them tick and why they're playing their sport and what motivates them to be successful. And he has some great nuggets in there for everybody to take away. And so I know you're really going to enjoy this episode. I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors, IgnitionAPG.com and EliteForm.com, before we get started. Again, both companies are back with us for 2015. And, you know, EliteForm, we talked about, you know, I've told you several times, I think they're a game changer when it comes to our field and the way that they're implementing their technology and making it seamless, which is the key. And a lot of people are following suit, trying to keep up, and EliteForm still paving the way. And so I would encourage you to reach out to them, let them know again, thank them for being a part of Iron Game Chalk Talk for this year. You know, they really do have a heart for coaches, and that's the reason why they're involved. And they reiterate that every turn, every step of the way. And so I thank them for that. Follow them on Twitter at @elite_form. And, you know, they're constantly putting out resources for coaches. And like I said, I mean, any company that puts, education and the coach first is something I definitely want to be a part of. Lastly, you know, young strength coaches that are in positions, GA spots or maybe you're in an assistant spot where it's only one or yourself and another coach or something along those lines, and you're not able to find that mentorship that you're looking for, Strength Coach Basic Training is a kind of an online coaching education program. I put basically our coaching education, our 8-lecture coaching education program that I have our interns go through, our practicum students. And then it's an online community where you're able to interact and learn from each other, which is fantastic. And so we moved it to Facebook a while back, and it's just really taken off in terms of coaches being able to interact with one another, and learn about jobs and go through the lecture series that I'm putting our interns through. And it really has been something that people have found a tremendous amount of value in. So to find out more about that, go to strengthcoachbasictraining.com and sign up there, and then we add you to the Facebook page, and we'll get you going from there. But don't want to take another second of this. I want us to focus on Jeremy Boone. I really think he's one of the premier guys out there, and does it the right way, which we're always constantly talking about. So sit back, enjoy this episode, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Real excited about our next guest. This guy I've known, let's see, probably you spoke at the first NSCA conference I ever went to, and I was blown away by your presentation then. So it would have been probably 18 years ago. And we've spoken at conferences together, and a guy that I've reached out to, and a guy I really respect for not just what you do, but how you do it, and fired up to have you on the show, man.
It's awesome, man. I'm excited to be able to do this with you and support you, and you know what you're doing, I think, is great for our profession. We talk about that all the time.
No, I appreciate it, man. Well, hey, Jeremy, go into your story a little bit, man. You know, how'd you get into strength and conditioning? Kind of where that's path taking you into where it's kind of evolved, and what you're doing now.
Man, well, listen, I'll give you the down and dirty. Here's what's exciting about that is that I've never actually told anyone my journey.
Really?
Like, I've never gone out there and shared this whole story, so this is going to be pretty funny and pretty neat. It came out of high school, tall, skinny white kid. We didn't get in the weight room at all. We just played basketball, football, tennis. I mean, there's no way our high school team in football ever went in the weight room, because after I graduated, we were like 0-48. We didn't win one game in 4 years straight. So it was pretty crazy. I decided to go to college in Charleston. And 2 weeks before, since the summer, 2 weeks before my freshman year, I'm driving to Spartanburg, South Carolina for a shoot around. I was going there to try to walk on with basketball and tennis, because of the two sports I really enjoyed. And I got hit by a 96-year-old man with a 93-year-old wife in a 1944 Ford Fairlane made of iron. And hits me in a 1991 Nissan Pulsar, which is like driving a Coke can. You touch it. Broke my back, kind of got hurt, all those kind of things. Ended up at College of Charleston. I'm this really kind of mad 18-year-old, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. And, you know, I like to tell people that our profession, in terms of performance and strength and conditioning, it chose me. I certainly didn't choose it. And that's, I think, was what sustained me within what we've done now for, 24 years. And I'm on the athletic training table, Ron. I'm kind of getting rehabbed a little bit. And Mark McCown, who's a strength coach now for the Jazz forever, but he was there at the College of Charleston, picks me up, brings me in there, and just lets me start working with some of the guys in the weight room. And at the time, back then, you know, our profession was so young.
Right.
It was so young that everything was pretty much done only in the weight room. But Mark stayed a lot of his time outside of the weight room and looked at movement and cared about speed and mobility and all these things that you and I use every day now. And
absolutely.
So I really, really gravitated towards that. And the New York Knicks in the early 90s started to come to Charleston pre- and postseason. And so their director of player development, Greg Britton, him and Mark were best friends. And Greg snacks me up and lets me help him out a little bit. And I start to fall in love with this idea of human movement and human performance. And just really, really enjoyed that opportunity to, at some point, to be honest, live through the athletes that I didn't get a chance to be able to play.
Sure.
But helps one get better. And so I'm sitting in, you'll enjoy this last little part, I'm sitting in Mark McCown's office in between the weight room, and I pull out this VHS tape, and it was Legs, Legs, Legs by Vern Gambetta, okay, 1991 or something. And right then I'm like, wow, that guy, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And I decided right there, this guy didn't know me from Adam, I'm going to call him. And I called Vern up, and he just was gracious enough to give me time and kind of take me under his wing. And he really, helped play a large part of my foundational philosophy in terms of coaching. So fast forward now, moved to Charlotte in the mid-90s. and started a brick and mortar here with athletes, worked with all, a lot of the local universities and high schools. And then about 2000, I decided, you know, I really like help educating coaches.
Right.
And I like help educating athletes. And so I kind of got out of the brick and mortar piece. And, you know, ever since then, I had an opportunity to travel and work with different teams in the off seasons. And, you know, as you know, Jerry Simmons brought me in to do the speed work with the Panthers for 8 years and worked with the WSA, the women's pro soccer team, and done in Brazil. And just had a lot of fun going all over the world.
Right.
And at the end of the day, anything performance is what I enjoy. And that's what I love doing. And now I'm working with NASCAR. I mean, I always kind of made fun. Always, actually, did make fun working in NASCAR. Of a sport, you only turn left. And here I am 3 years in, and now I'm in it, and I love it. I'm working with a bunch of Olympic swimmers here the past 3 years. And same thing. I didn't grow up swimming. I grew up surfing down in Florida on little 3 foot waves. And so
right.
It's have an opportunity to work with these Olympic gold medalists every day on physical and mental performance are pushing my boundaries and make me grow. So we're having a lot of fun.
Well, it's a heck of a journey, and what a great opportunity to get a chance to work with so many different sports, so many different caliber of athlete, and it really refines you as a coach, right? You learn so many skills from working with that 7-year-old, 8-year-old, you know, all the way to that Olympic gold medalist. And I know that, you know, you've put as much time, and this is one of the things I respect the most about you, in the mental preparation of your athletes, even as, you know, now it's more of an official type of role, more of a, you know, official type of position. But even early on, it didn't change who you were. You knew that what made the athletes tick was what's going to help produce on the field, you know. And so talk a little bit about how you go about the mental preparation of the athlete, and then I'd like to kind of transition that into, you know, what your definition of mental toughness is, and how you best prepare for that.
Yeah, two great questions. You know, starting from about 1997 to about 2004, when my sole focus was on the physical side of preparation and what we do each and every day, I would always get frustrated with the younger athletes for them, because they would come in to work so hard in the off season, then their competitive season would start, and they wouldn't be able to display their newfound skills or improvements. Bigger body, faster body. And I felt bad for that. And we always came back to it being an issue of relationships. So in the environment that the athlete was in, they had a problem with a coach. Their mom or dad were pushing the athlete into the sport they were playing, or they were being compared because big brother played and I got to play. You know, all these relational pieces that impacted the mental side of their ability to perform. And while I felt like sports psychology is huge and important, and all the skills that you and I use each and every day, from focus and goal setting and visualization and imagery and self-talk and all those mental skills of psychology, they're important. But wins and losses at the end of the day usually come down to decisions.
Right.
And when you watch my athletes perform on the field or on the court, now that I get to work with, that, you know, the decision to catch a ball, do I split the defense, do I pass it, do I go for the shot? Decisions about ourselves and decisions about my worldview greatly impact the outcome of what I want to achieve. And so, you know, I got this love quickly of decision making and the science of decision making. And so now when I have an athlete, we start right off the bat. We talk about and look at their self-identity. In other words, what do they believe about themselves now? How do they see themselves now? And who do they want to become? And we look at that gap and how can we work through that process? And the issue is, probably for most coaches that are going to listen and watch, you know, this episode, is that if you work with a younger athlete, their self-identities are not clear at all. They don't really know.
Sure.
They're looking to you as a strength coach. They're looking to me as a coach every single day and saying, believe in me so I can believe in myself.
Just had that conversation 10 minutes before we got on the air with a guy setting his goals for the offseason.
Right. They don't know. And so that ties back into a starting point for us. Because I felt like that was helping me be successful and helping people be the best versions of themselves are. Number one, great coaches, they define reality, right? That's what they do.
Yep.
Here's reality for you, you meaning that I'm working with. Number two is that all improvement starts with the truth. So here's the truth about where you are and who you are and how your coach experienced you, and then here's where we can help you grow and become. And so if that's the case, let me tie it back then into this whole concept of mental toughness.
Sure.
Here's a little saying that when I go around and talk to high school coaches, and I know you're going to laugh when I tell you this, but it's true. Today's young athlete is softer than medicated cotton. Right?
Yeah.
They are. They're soft. And so we get frustrated as performance coaches that they're not mentally tough enough. Right? And so what our tendency is that let's get them in the weight room and bang them out in the weight room. We're going to do all these grinding drills, and there's a place for that for sure. Right?
Right.
To challenge mentally and build that. But if you look at mental toughness, it's two words, man. And most of us define mental toughness as just toughness. It's this attitude. This I got a street in me. I got to have some dog in me, right?
Right.
And really get through the moment. But the mental word there has got to be clear. So here's how I define mental toughness. Is the ability to endure the present in order to achieve a future goal. That's it. The ability to endure the present in order to achieve a future goal. So if I'm not clear about the goal that I want to achieve, the objective I want to achieve, and the value that I can add to my team to achieve it, why the heck am I going to endure any moment right now that's pressure-filled and I got to show up and count the most?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the little winded version for you of when we sit down with athletes and we kind of work through some of those big pieces.
No, I think that's great. You know, we actually just, again, I just had this conversation with our team the other day, and, you know, it's not always, you know, whenever you're in the moment, you've got to ask yourself why you're doing what you're doing, or what you're sacrificing, what you're giving up to do what you're doing, you know.
Yes.
And those two things, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, like you mentioned early on, and in a lot of ways it defines our current team, is they've worked so hard. I mean, we've had more situations here where, I mean, we're more fired up to go lift weights than we are to go freaking play a football game sometimes. And you've got to be able to transfer and translate that to why you're putting in that amount of work. And so always putting out those visualizations and those and setting those goals, like you mentioned, is a critical step in that process. You know, no doubt about it. I think, you know, another thing you touched on is relationships with the coaches, you know, and oftentimes, you know, that decision, those decisions that those athletes are making are a reflection of in the moment coaching from sport coaches or administrators or whatever it may be, people that are outside your control as a strength coach. What are some of the tactics that you've used to kind of bridge that gap between coaches that you work with that are also working with those athletes that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis? Because they have the ability to completely support what you're doing, or they have the ability to completely break down what you're doing as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, if we're not proactive about what we do in our profession, then it becomes a vertical relationship. Sports coaches here, the strength and conditioning or performance coaches here, right? And I'm not a believer in that. So anytime I have an opportunity to work with a new coach, we come in, we sit down, and we just kind of put the cards on the table and say, look, you know, we collectively are a team to be able to help your athletes consistently play your best each and every day. That's the goal, not play your best for your athletes, but for your athletes to consistently play their best. In order to do that, then we have to be side by side. Now, at the end of the day, it's your show, it's what you're doing, but this piece here is not something that's small, right? It plays such a huge part in everything else that we do. And so we kind of go through that that discussion of philosophy and methodology, but we always tie back to, here's the lowest common denominator that I tell these coaches. It's the relationships. It's how they experience you. It's the expectations that we create with one another. It's the energy that we're going to bring. It's the example that we're going to set. In terms of what are we modeling, right? If the head coach if our athletes see the head coach and me banging like this, that's not creating an engaged environment for them to trust and build belief that these guys are going to help me be able to add value to this team when it counts.
Right.
So I think we've got a lot of pieces that play into that. Language plays a huge piece into that in terms of this idea of a culture of working with a coach successfully. Looking at body language is number one, right? I mean, the number one negative trait when an athlete needs a coach the most is when they're looking up to that coach and that coach doesn't say anything, but they've got the body language of disgust. When an athlete knows that a coach is disgusted with them about a poor decision or poor play, that registers in the brain. And then the athlete goes into a mode where they can't perform as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to look at body language between the head coach, while they're coaching, between me as a performance coach. Body language is huge. And then the next one is our verbal language. And here's where we get caught as strength conditioning coaches. And I tell the head coaches I work with all the time as well, because it's so time-starved, and especially in your case, more than mine, because it ain't NCAA rules, right? You have
right.
a amount of time. So we're so time-starved that our language is built around what I want from you. Rarely do we say what I want for you.
Right.
So it's about, all right, guys, I want a quarterback over here, skill positions here, lineman here. You guys are going med balls. You guys are going jump ropes. You guys are getting a weight vest. Going through mobility, whatever it may be, and it's from, and we forget that, man, these guys are playing a sport that they want to have fun, want to be passionate about, and they want to win.
Sure.
So if we forget about including language that's, man, this is why we're doing this. Heck yeah, it's going to be a grind. Yeah, it's going to suck at times, and you're going to sweat. You're going to, you know, be in the trenches, but you know what? This is why we're on. And you go and you paint that picture for these kids, because they're not always clear that anybody believes that they can do it when they're going to be asked to do it.
Sure. Well, you mentioned, you know, when you're finding out what makes the athletes tick, you know, and you know, most coaches have that goal-setting meeting or try to have that type of conversation. And the reality is that, like you said, I mean, the tall white guy from freaking – you know, Virginia Beach or Florida or wherever, you know, isn't always going to relate to that inner city 300-pound, 6'9 kid from Detroit, you know.
Right.
When you're sitting in those meetings, what are some disarming type of questions that you can ask to kind of get them to open up about what makes them tick?
Well, you know, I think there are a couple of conversations that are important to have to tease out for that athlete to have a great experience. The first one is passion, right? And I like to ask these athletes, if I'm watching you as a fan for the first time, how do I know that you love to play your game? Tell me what that looks like, right? And then we start talking about that process. How can you even play with more passion? And how they describe those answers kind of lets me know what they value most, right? And that's important. The second conversation is purpose. Why are you playing football? Why are you playing soccer? You know, and we look at some pieces there that what fuels you for your purpose. The third conversation we'll have driving through is that what do you value the most from playing your sport? And that's real important, right? Because some athletes will say, man, I just love the opportunity to get out there, you know, with my teammates and go out there and just smash. And
right.
We know that's a social value, right? If guys say, man, I just want a ring. I just want that championship. Then we know that guy is important about tangible outcomes that drive them, you know, from that perspective.
Right.
So we ask those things. A fourth question is we ask, who is the most influential coach you ever had and why? And the reasons right there will tell us then how we best need to connect with our athletes.
Great question.
Man, I had this coach when I was younger, and he kicked my ass, and he held me, my feet to the fire, and, you know, he blah, blah, blah. Then I need to create that relationship with this athlete as a starting point and grow it. If the relationship was, man, this coach, he believed in me, he influenced me, he lifted me up, he was encouraging. You know, so we've got some starting pieces within those kind of conversations. And then the very last question is this, is define win. What does winning mean to you? And is that what is this the opportunity I get to come and play at your school? You know, I get to train with you. That might be my win. Well, that's different.
Right.
Than what other win means. So if we can work through those four or five questions as right at the get-go, that would give us the lowest common denominator to create an environment that's engaging and healthy.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one, two, three, four, five awesome conversations there. And I think the biggest thing that you pointed out was, you know, that this is, you know, I've said it on the show several times that, you know, you spell love, T-I-M-E, right? What you love, you'll spend time on, you know, and, you know, it's not just an instant, like, microwave society. You get them in, you tell, you know, hey, tell me your whole life story. Now I know how to coach you. It's something where you have to constantly invest in the athletes, and you can do that in lots of different ways, but most of which is having those five conversations. And I'm telling you, that's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, I know a lot of that stuff you kind of go over in your podcast, you know, your Coach Best podcast. Talk a little bit about why you started that and kind of, you know, it's a fantastic resource because you not only bring on, you know, strength coaches, but you bring on authors and you bring on leaders and just some people that can really give some great insight into making you a better coach. And so I appreciate you doing it, but talk a little bit why you started it and what's it all about.
Yeah, you know, I think like all of us, yourself included, we're always looking for good resources that can give us good nuggets of information. Let me learn a new skill, a new piece of knowledge I can go back and put in that day or the very next day into my athletes.
Absolutely.
Right? With who I get to work with. And, you know, one of the things I appreciate about your podcast, you know, is you've got wonderful strength coaches on your podcast. You have other leaders and stuff too, but like for someone like me, my space, like I told you in the beginning, I didn't grow up in a weight room.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I went through all the certifications for Olympic lifting, and I'm still doing in there, but that's not my space that I'm most comfortable all the time. So I go to resources, really just yours, to be honest with you, and that keeps me up to date there. So I wanted to create something that could give coaches a different perspective on just coaching from a 50,000 square foot view. And, you know, really just fortunate and blessed to go out and meet some really great people like yourself, but some authors out there that really get into some good research and they're writing New York Times best-selling books. And I'm getting to have good relationships with them. And the whole time I was thinking, man, I wish Ron, I wish Gary, I wish John Litton, I wish they could sit here right now and listen to this person talk.
Right.
Right? Like I'm sitting here grabbing a beer last summer or whatever it was with Daniel Coyle, the author of The Talent Code. Man, that just he is such a great guy.
Right.
And I'm like, every coach I know that there's a good friend and just coaches in general, they need to be hearing this.
No
doubt. So I started that thing off, and now it has grown into something that is a lot of fun. As you well know, man, we put in sometimes 20, 25 hours a week just for podcast shows.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's fulfilling. It's a way, again, like I said in the beginning, this industry chose me, and I feel like I've got a duty to give back, you know, to the industry for that. So
no, it's a fantastic resource, and I'll make sure to link that up as well as everything else. But, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk about is, you know, when I heard you speak for the first time, it was back when you were with Carolina, and you were talking speed and agility, and you were always so creative in your programming. It was one of those things that, you know, even, you know, NFL guys, ultimately they love to be a competitor. That's why they do what they do. And you were able to tap into that with some creative ways. And I know you have movement-based games out now, but talk a little bit about incorporating that competition and how you've done that, even still now with maybe your Olympic sprinters or with the NASCAR athletes or, you know, whoever you work with. How do you integrate that? How do you challenge yourself to always be that creative?
Well, it's just try to have fun, right? I mean, I think fun drives that. It has to.
Absolutely.
if fun is not there, look, I'm just going to put this out here. This is a coaching podcast. So let me just say this. Coaching is a lot like sex, brother. If it's not fun, you're not doing something right.
You
know
That's
what
right.
I mean? When I learned a lot of the basic of speed mechanics and things like that from Vern Gambat, and then from additional guys, Lawrence Seagrave, and some other really great coaches, we wanted to take that and challenge these athletes because they want to compete and they want to play. And so we're thinking, how can we put in some fun games that will challenge them, but at the same time, you know, challenge this decision making. Because if we're just doing these great drills and they look good and they can change direction on their inside leg and all this kind of good stuff, remember that carryover, I just would never see it. And so the stimulus was when I have to now make a decision, my mechanics go out the door sometimes. And so
Absolutely. It's
a way that we could put in these games for 5 minutes that transitions out of a skill into now, you know, there are some coaches out there that they call it chaos training, call it reactive agility, and they've got a lot of great names for that. But back in 2004, we just called it movement-based games, right?
Right.
That's all we called it. And we're still having a lot of fun. So whether it's things like the favorite game with the Panthers that we played almost every day was rock, paper, scissor tag, right? It's two guys line up, face each other. You got a cone behind you that's 5 yards. And if I'm playing you, you have a cone behind you. We're throwing down 1, 2, 3, and the loser's got to turn and run.
Right.
If we throw down and I lose – and I turn, if I can get to that cone before you touch me, I get the point. If you tag me, you get the point, that's it. But who would think that such a simple game would create, you know, these guys, and they're putting money on the table.
Right.
They're scared. They're creating brackets. But it was a way to kind of get them, you know, excited to practice what we try to preach.
Yeah, no, we used that game. We took that game. We went a step further. We put a pool noodle down in between them. And the loser would have to reach down and grab the pool noodle and go whack the guy, you know, before he got to the other end. So,
I mean,
anytime you get to hit your teammate, that's always fun, right?
Very nice.
But, the people that have listened to this show know that, you know, or heard me speak, I always say that I'm a principle-based strength coach, not a philosophy-based strength coach. And one of my principles is adding variety to your program. And if you do not do that, athletes will search for it, you know, one way or another, you know, and so, you know, part of being a cutting edge strength coach or sharpening the sword or staying current, however you want to say it, is continually adding and challenging yourself to come up with creative ideas to keep your athletes engaged. And I know this product that you have is fantastic for that. I would encourage everybody to reach out and grab that, but more so just the principle behind it in that add fun to your workouts, you know, and
right.
Make it so that that's the biggest thing when I walked in the door here. It was, you know, how can we make it so that these athletes want to come hang out in the weight room even when they're not lifting or training, you know, and that's the relationship piece we talked about. That's the fun piece we talked about. And it's
you know,
obviously.
Here's the thing, too, is that there's a danger, as you know, is adding too much variety.
Sure.
Right? Because there are some things that we have to do and get done in the training room. So something like adding just a simple game at the end, if athletes know that they're going to have that in time, they'll grind.
Right.
Because that's kind of an opportunity for them to let go and be free to be able to do that. So I think that makes it a controllable variable, right?
And sure.
Controllable variety and flow through that way.
Well, and then it's like you said earlier. I mean, everybody's got the creative names for it now, but the reality is that's the end. That's that open loop skill at the end of your programming. That's the advancement of whatever you're doing. You know, I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're busy, brother. We kind of end the show with some resources here. So, give me the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received.
It's going to tie in directly to what we've been saying the whole time, but I believe in simplicity, which is, you know, person first, player second.
Absolutely.
Best piece of coaching advice. Because my first, when I moved to Charlotte in 1996, my first 4 years, I'm trying to work with every, you know, coach in high school in Charlotte area. I mean, everybody, you name it. Even to Davidson College with Bob McKillop and Wingate with Joe, you name it. And I treated everyone as an athlete first and person second. And that didn't last very long. It lasted long enough because speed is sexy.
Right.
Right. But then once you got over that boat, there was nothing else there.
Sure.
So for me, that's got to be the foundation. And here's the second point to that, and you know this to be true, is that, look, we're not talking about positive psychology, right? We're not. I don't really actually believe positive psychology works. You know, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about, you know, just because you treat someone as a person first means you're soft.
Right.
We're not talking about putting games into a workout and all the things that you do, and I've gotten to see you do. That's not being soft.
Right.
That's holding someone's feet to the fire. Right.
Yeah.
But we still have to be real at the end of the day, and our goal is not to coach the passion out of an athlete that we get to work with. Right. They come in with us the very first time they meet us with a passion for sport and playing, and our goal, as others have said, is not to coach that out of them. It's to get more in and build on that.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a great point. And you know, we've talked about that on the show as well, is that, you know, there's nothing wrong with healthy confrontation and you know, and being direct with athletes. And it's come, you know, almost now, like you said, I mean, you know, athletes are kind of, you know, they're soft as cotton lately, but sometimes coaches, you know, we're doing the same thing when it comes to confrontation, you know, and you know, I just had, you know, again, I mean, I just had a meeting earlier with a player that we had kicked off the team because of drugs, you know, and we're not going to allow it. Okay. We told them, tested positive. You know, it was one of those deals. But even, it's probably been, 4 months now since he's trained with us. Walks in the office. We have a conversation about, you know, where he's at in his degree and where he's going. And you know, and we sat there and had an hour conversation about the direct, you know, the path for him to have success in his professional career. But at the end of it, it was, look, all that goes out the drain if you freaking smoke dope, or if you do drugs, you know, and you mess up, you get arrested, you do whatever. And right. And he's like, you know, it's like, dang, coach, why you know, but the reality is that I care about the kid, you know, and you know, for all these athletes, sometimes that takes that, you know, that person to be in their life that's going to be direct with them, because they may not be getting it from someone else. So no, I appreciate that 100%. What about a quote that you have either plastered up somewhere or one that you live by?
And I always love hearing all the quotes from all the coaches you have on your show, and I actually ended up taking them and using them for that day. I think two come to mind. The first one is more of a good weight room quote, which is, for every workout you skip, you make yourself that much easier to beat.
Yep.
And, I know we've all heard that, but I think that's just a good front and center for athletes to hear each and every day. And then the second one applies to really everybody, to your athletes, but more so to us as coaches, as opportunities to be leaders, which is this: if your presence doesn't make an impact, your absence won't make a difference. And I think that for me,
that's strong,
is my guiding mantras, and I try to make that my mantra every single day.
So. Oh, I like that one. I'm gonna steal that one. What about some, you know, just some resources here? What, give me a book that's maybe a strength and conditioning book, and then maybe one outside of strength and conditioning that you recommend.
Yeah, here, I think a couple come to mind. If you're looking for general coaching, you know, Practice Perfect by Doug Lamov.
It's a great one.
Great.
Yeah.
And it's general coaching. It's not specifically for strength and conditioning, but it's just good general timeless principles. If you're into more of the how the mental grinds with the physical and hormonally, Ashley Merriman's book Top Dog is rocking, and she's done a great
read
job
that one
there. If you are, have you read Top Dog?
I have not. I'm gonna check that one out.
Get it. It's great, and we've had her on the Coach Your Best podcast, and she's done a great job. If you are a younger strength conditioning coach just getting into the profession, and you really want to kind of look at sports expertise and from a performance, get Joe Baker's book, which is Developing Sport Expertise. It is a rocking book
that
covers so many different facets of performance. So those would kind of be my big three for now.
No, those are good. All good. What about, you know, a website that you generally check out, and then maybe an app that you use either for your own productivity or to use with your athletes?
Yeah, good. Yeah, the website, that's kind of a funny one because, you know, you and I are on social media. We're doing podcasts, and we're always looking for stuff. And when you texted me that question, I got to think, you know, what is a website? I don't know that I really have a website, because most of my education and driving that initiates where I can learn and come from comes from Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. You know, like I pick 10 to 20 people that I follow that I know that when they put something out, that's worth me looking into. And for me, that's about all the time I have. So I don't have a lot of time to go through websites and blogs anymore.
Right.
It's going to be listening to podcasts like yours and Twitter giving me some pieces that is worth, you know, being able to go. So I would say, you know, I don't have a website, but if you're not using Twitter, get on Twitter. Follow Ron. Follow me.
Absolutely. You know,
get information that way as a platform for education.
No, I couldn't agree more. And that, you know, and we talked, I think we had this conversation a couple days back, but, you know, I used to think Facebook and Twitter and all that was the Antichrist, you know, but, you know, it really can be a tool for good as long as you monitor yourself, right? You control yourself, you know, because you can get lost in your own time there. But,
exactly. And I think an app, one that I've really been using a lot lately for my training sessions is Seconds Pro.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. What is that?
Oh, it's great. It's rocking. So I mean, it's like having your, so you know, like in the weight room, back in, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, you know, you could have put the big timers up on your,
yeah,
on your wall. You could control it with a little wireless remote. But now it's all in an app, and you can customize this thing with any sets of time and intervals. You can put special music for your rest intervals. Then it'll pull in other workout music for your work sets.
Really?
I mean, the whole thing is rocking. It's a couple bucks, but for me, it's been a really, really, really good tool as I continue to try to go. And then when I'm on the road or an athlete's on the road, you know, if they've got the app, they get the workout, and they can just go right through it. You can do voiceovers. So 5 seconds before each exercise, it will announce what the next exercise will be if you're doing some time crunch stuff. So it's a fun app, but yes, Seconds Pro.
I haven't heard of that one. I'm going to check that one out as well.
See,
it's good stuff, man. You give me a couple.
Got to give you some new stuff, bro.
Yeah, you did it, man. That's for sure. Well, bro, you know, I mean, we talk all, you know, all the time, man. And I, you know how much I respect you, but everybody else, if you're not following Jeremy Boone, you know, you must, because, I mean, not only, like I talk about on the show so much, it's not just how you do it or what you do, it's how you do it, you know, and you do it. First class all the way around, man. Your podcast, Coach Your Best, I'll make sure to link that up. If you're not following that, follow that. If you haven't gotten movement-based games, get that. But, man, you know, you're just a guy, I look up to, you're a guy that I strive to be like, and can't thank you enough for the time and the efforts that you make to help contribute back to this profession. And I know how much that time that it's required to do that, and I truly appreciate it, man.
Well, listen, I got to say, it's been a ton of fun being on the show. We've tried this for like 2 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah, man, I mean, for both of us. And I think what I value most about our relationship is that we both recognize that this world is big enough that you and I don't need to hide secrets. We don't need to not share things back and forth, because, I mean, there are too many people and too many athletes to work with. And so I just appreciate all you continue to do, and know you're a guy I can lean on whenever I need. So it's been a ton of fun, but thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.